We'll call this meeting order of the Vance County Commissioners for December 2nd, 2013. And with that, I want to call on Ron Carver from First Baptist Church to give the implication. Ron?
Let's pray. Dear God, we bow before you because we believe you care, because we believe you take time to listen to our petitions, because out of the diversity of faith that is represented in this room and in this county, there are many of us that believe you can make a difference. We come before you, loving God, to ask your blessings upon all of the residents of our county, especially on those who are hurting, those who have little or no resource, those who feel left out and hopeless and helpless. And God, help those who can help. Help us to rise up and be a blessing to others. We pray especially that you bring wisdom to our elected leadership as they make decisions that will benefit all of the citizens of this county, and hopefully decisions that will help us as a community to grow and prosper together from the least to the last. We pray, O Lord, understanding that we're not all alike, but that you love us still, equally, one and all, from the beginning to the end, because with you there is no limit, no boundary. Your love, broader than the east is from the west, we call upon it now for guidance and help, today and always. In your most holy and magnificent name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Ron, before you leave and walk out, I want to give you this letter of one of my last acts as chairman. And this letter is to Reverend Joseph Radcliffe, thanking you all for the outstanding job that you all did this past year, and for being willing to be a part of this community and come forward and work with the county and the city. It means a lot to every commissioner up here, and we want to thank you for doing that, and they want to get you that letter.
I will deliver that to him in the morning when we have a meeting, and we pray for you all, Congressman.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you for serving our community.
A few comments from the chairman, current chairman, I wanted to make. And I want to say, first of all, wow, what a fast year. Time flies and goes by very, very quickly, and it's just flown by. And I just wanted to say that I wanted to make a few comments about that. First of all, I want to say thanks to Jerry Askew, the county manager, and the county personnel for their help this year. I believe we have one of the best counties of governments in the state of North Carolina that make it a pleasure to serve. Second, I want to say thanks to my vice chairman, Deborah Brown, in keeping me on track this past year and in the years past. She pulls on my sweater when I'm going too fast, too far. But she's kept me in, and she always has made me just remember, discussion, discussion, discussion. So, Deborah, I wanted to thank you for that, and I wanted to tell you that I support you for chairman, and you have my vote. Third, I'd like to say thanks to all the board members for working to make Vance County a better place to live and work. Dedication is shown by all. People are quick to criticize and slow to point out the good points. Here are some of the accomplishments by this board this past year. First of all is the minister's ministerial allowance. Second is the instituted use of computers for commissioners. Third is contact with EnviroLink on operations and maintenance. Farmers Market Project. Turn on water in 1A district to citizens. No tax increase. Joint meeting of the Vance County Board of Education and Commissioners. Started construction on 2A and 2B water project. Set water policy and pricing. Expanded lease for Henderson Collegiate. Worked with the city to set up alternate 911 center. Changed county sick leave policy to sharing for hardship illness. Authorized and filled the position of deputy county manager, and also came up with new ordinance on solar farms. That's not to say that everything, as far as that, that's just a few of the things that we've done this past year. And this board's worked very, very hard and very devotedly together to try to get all this done. In closing, I would like to say the best days for Vance County lie ahead. Working together, we can make Vance County grow and prosper. So I'm just telling you, it's been an honor to serve this board. It's been an honor to be chairman, and I couldn't ask for any better board to work with than this board is up to. Thank y'all, and thanks for that. With that, we'll lead into the reorganization of the board, and I'll call for the election of the chairman. Do we have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we nominate Deborah Brown.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. With that, Deborah, I'll turn the gavel over to you, and you and I will trade seats.
Well, if it pleases the board, I would just, since I'm set up here with my computer, I would like to operate from this
sure.
position tonight. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm. You're the chairman.
Thank you.
You can have the gavel back.
That's your prerogative.
Rather than to get up, since we are working with computers now, and mine is plugged in and so that it won't go back down, I would want to keep it plugged in where I am. Let me just say thank you to my fellow board members for giving me this opportunity to serve once again as your chairperson. Following the agenda, we will now go to item 3, and I will accept appointments or nominations for officials, as you see noted, clerk to the board.
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to nominate Kelly Grissom.
Sir.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to appoint Kelly Grissom as clerk to the board. Any further discussion or nominations? If not, all in favor, let me know by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Next, the appointment, we have a nominee for board vice chair.
I'd like to appoint Archie Taylor as vice chair.
Sir.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to appoint Commissioner Archie Taylor as the vice chair to the board. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let me know by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. Congratulations, Commissioner Taylor. And for those of you who may be wondering why we have one nomination and a closure, this board has agreed in the past to follow the rotating districts for chair and vice chair. I represent district number 1, Commissioner Taylor represents district number 2. And so therefore, each year, we just follow that on a rotating basis. Unless there is a commissioner who decides that he may not want to fill the role as chair or vice chair, then it goes to the next district in line. I just wanted to clarify that a little bit in case some of you were wondering. Next on the agenda for appointment of officials, we have the county manager.
Mr. Chairman, I nominate Jerry Askew as our county manager.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further nominations? Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, let me know by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. Finance director. Do I have a nomination?
Mr. Chairman, I move to appoint David Beck as the finance director.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to appoint David Beck as our finance director. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let me know by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. The county attorney.
Madam Chair, I'd like to support this. I'd like to nominate Jonathan Kerr as county attorney.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to appoint Jonathan Kerr as our county attorney. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. For the custodians, we have several, and we can do those in one motion if it pleases the board.
Madam Chair, I move that we appoint custodian for the courthouse, Brad Weatherly, Brad Leatherington, Administration Building, Brad Leatherington, Henry Dennis Building, Lambert Martin, Office County Office Building, Morris White, and the Social Services Building, Antonio Drozzi.
I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to appoint as custodian for the courthouse, Brad Leatherington, also as custodian for the administration building, Brad Leatherington, the Henry A. Dennis Building, Leonard Martin, and the county office building, Morris White, and last, the social services building, Antonio Pedroza. Any further discussion on the motion and nominations? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries. Next on the agenda is the adoption of the schedule of holidays. And we received those holidays, a list of them in our packet. And I believe that those are the same holidays observed by the state. So what is the pleasure of the board concerning the schedule of holidays?
Madam Chair, I move we adopt the state holiday schedule in accordance with the Office of Personnel from Linda Coleman.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the schedule of holidays that will also be observed by state employees during 2014. Any further discussion on the motion?
Madam Chair, I would just ask our clerk that next year, let's not have any particular reason we had the memo from the state in 2011.
They do it 3 years at a time.
They do it 3 years at a time?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so just
very good. All right. Sounds like good planning to me, Commissioner Garrison.
Okay.
Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
The motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda is a designation of the opening and closing hours for our public buildings, Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. What is the pleasure of the board?
Madam Chair, move we adopt Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5 is our opening and closing hours for the buildings.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to designate the opening and closing hours for public buildings Monday through Friday from 8:30 a.m. until 5 p.m. Any discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let me know by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carries. Item 6 is a reappointment of 3 members to the Vance County Fire Commission. Mike Coghill as chairman, yours truly, Deborah Brown as a member, and Ron Jones as a member.
Madam Chair, I move we appoint 3 members to the County Fire Commission as presented. Mike Coghill as chairman, Deborah Brown and Ron Jones as members.
Second.
And we have a motion and a second to reappoint the 3 members named to the Vance County Fire Commission. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. I want to thank the board for getting us through these housekeeping issues. And now we're right on schedule for our 6:15 p.m. appointment with the DSS Director, Mrs. Pedroza.
Good evening, Madam Chair, Commissioners. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Antonia Pedroza. I'm the DSS Director. And I've come here tonight to talk to you about NC Fest. And I believe each of you received, I think it looks like this.
Thank you.
And you'll see that there's a camel on the corner of this presentation because NC Fest consists of Well, I could say, you know, some people would think that that was because NC Fast is really NC Slow. Yeah, when I placed the camel on that corner, I was really more thinking that NC Fast has a lot of bumps. Okay? And we've been through some of those bumps here in Vance County. And it continues to be a wonderful day at Vance County and at DSS. North Carolina accessing services through technology. While we've survived the first hump, which was the food stamp initiation into the program, Medicaid is the next phase. And in this phase, not only will Medicaid be impacted, but we will also feel the hump again in food stamps, because many of our citizens who apply and are eligible for food stamps are also eligible for Medicaid. And because of that, their services are connected in this NC Fast system. We would have unintended glitches. There are glitches in the system which would cause unintended results. Directors across the state of North Carolina are demanding better tools, better communication, better response times, and better solutions. While the vision for NC Fast is excellent, the road is paved with barriers and challenges. This is a massive project for the state, and my goal this evening is to keep you informed. Some of the challenges that we have faced and that we'll continue to face are system failures. Some of these system failures last from one half hour to 3 days. Staff members sometimes spend more time preparing help desk tickets, which are tickets that we send to the IT staff at the state level to resolve for resolutions with client applications. Sometimes staff spend more time working on those resolutions than they actually spend with clients providing services. Help desk tickets to date are not resolved in a timely manner. The state is aware of the problems, they've worked on the problems, they've been diligent, and yet the glitches continue. We don't have any villains here. We have a state that has an NC Fast system. We have the Affordable Care Act. We have the MAGI application, which is a streamlined application. I wish I could point to one person and say, hey, you did this wrong, now fix it. But it's not going to work that way. We really do not have many villains. We have a lot of good people staying up long hours, doing a lot of hard work, and yet the glitches are here, and they will be here for a while. Okay. What we have to do as a leadership team, and my NC Fast team is here, is work on the things that we can change, control the things that we can, and manage the things that we can't. Communication and workarounds are sent out every day and throughout the day from the state to our agency. More often than not, we will have workarounds that have failed and are being updated 2 to 3 times in 1 week. Staff barely have time to try the first workaround when other workarounds are coming behind it. Workarounds are written in a tech format and sometimes are 3 to 12 pages long. While the state has provided counties with over-the-shoulder support, their assistance to counties has been inconsistent. I've already requested a replacement for the assistant they sent to Vance County. And we've been told that we would get a replacement because her experience did not fit our needs. Dual applications needed to meet the Affordable Care Act and NC Fast timelines. Staff members have been working in 2 systems. And it's really important that we understand that although we have the NC Fast system here, our staff are working in the old system and in the new system. Now in February, for Medicaid, we will go into the new system. And the old system will go away. That's a dual-edged sword. I mean, we are worried about our citizens. We are worried about our ability to provide timely benefits to the citizens who live in Vance County. And yet we know it's part of what we have to go through. In anticipation of the glitches associated with hard launch for Medicaid, certification periods at the state level have been extended for 3 months. So whoever was due for a Medicaid recertification in December, now their certification will not be due until March. Well, that's great. We're getting 3 months for December, January, and February. But what that means, that in March, April, May, my staff will be working double cases, a double caseload. So whatever was due December, January, and February, and what's due March, April, and May. Right? So those are they seem insurmountable, and yet we are planning every day. How will we meet these demands? The state is now informing us that we also need to assist anyone who is applying for universal health care who happens to walk through our doors. Initially, that was not part of what we would do because navigators were hired throughout the state to provide that service. And now we understand we are part of that system. LEAD workers who work for our agency and should spend most of their time providing support to the workers are now carrying caseloads. Phone calls have tripled since the food stamp launch, and they'll continue to increase. We just get more and more calls. Why do we get more calls? Well, because the system, the state system, generates letters that go out to families. Many of these letters are absolutely correct, and many are absolutely incorrect. And so we're constantly having to talk to the people we serve and reassure them we're doing everything we can. Some of the unintended consequences of this launch for Medicaid, which is scheduled to happen in February, and we're thinking by mid-February, maybe earlier, is that people may, if they're not recertified in a timely manner, may have problems filling out prescriptions. Now, you know, if food stamp applications were late, we could work with the food banks. We could collect food for our own food pantry. We could help people. We could give them food. We cannot. There's not a county in North Carolina that can afford prescriptions for the citizens who live in their county. Now, I hope we never need this. I hope the extension of Medicaid works. I hope that the glitches are not so insurmountable that people do not fall in this category of not being eligible for Medicaid and not being able to fill out their prescriptions for chronic illnesses, for diabetes, for mental health prescriptions. You can see that the consequences for not filling those prescriptions would be costly to the county, not only in health, but also in the consequences of not receiving the medications you need. Our citizens may turn to emergency care services because under the Affordable Care Act, they're deemed eligible. They're deemed Medicaid eligible if they go into the hospital and want to receive emergency services. Under the Affordable Care Act, if a person goes into the hospital and is released and comes back within 30 days with the same illness, that's not reimbursable. If a person is applying or is eligible for Medicaid and the system fails, and that family happens to also have food stamps, I don't know if the food stamp application would fail at the same time because, again, that's merged. We're struggling now to make sure that we meet the food needs of our citizens, and with the added system failures and glitches, staff will now struggle to meet both health and food needs in the new system. Staff may start seeing this customer service that we're living in as part of the norm, and that is not acceptable because this is not the norm. This is the pain that we have to go through to get to the norm. What are we doing? Our management team, our NC FAST management team, which I have five of my staff here today, we've developed a training plan for the agency to ensure that all of our staff members have the training that they need. We've ensured that the training plan has three components: policy, hands-on, and coaching. We've decided that as a management team, we are going to honor the frustrations and hard work of our staff and address the things that we have control over. We have partnered with the food banks, Universal Healthcare Navigators, the health department, and Mariah Parham to ensure that all of our partners are informed about what we are facing and what roles we have in this environment. We will continue to collect food at the DSS pantry. what we need from you. We're at the mercy of this system. We believe in it. We believe in the long-term benefit. Make no mistake. We think this is a good move across the state, and we think that one day we'll see the rain. Yet we know that services will continuously be added. We'll get over this hump of Medicaid, and then the energy programs, special assistance, refugee assistance, child care, aging and adult services, CPS, foster care, and all of those other systems are following. Medicaid is one of the most difficult. I would like to stand here and say we have such a great plan that I probably don't need anything. But you know, I want to keep you informed because my thought is, yes, we will need your help. We will need your support. We may need more staff time. We may need more resources, human technology resources. We may need to work some weekends. We have to do whatever we can do to make sure that our citizens know that we have their best interest at heart. That if the system fails, it will not be because Vance DSS fails. It will be because the system fails. We need your understanding and support. We have document imaging. We have stacks and stacks and boxes of document imaging materials that need to be imaged. You know, sooner or later, we're half in and half out of the system. And, you know, on the day that NCFAS is 100%, we want to have all of our documents imaged. We want appreciation. As a result of the market study in our neighboring county, Warren County, recently approved pay increases for county employees. That was in the newspaper. And, you know, of course my staff brought it to me. And I'm bringing it to you. And I'm just saying it's the reality that we're living in. I think I have a good training plan. I think I have a great management team. I think we are going to do a wonderful job training our staff. And I don't want to see them going to Warren County. Not after we put the resources in. What we do each day, we do because we believe it will make a difference and touch the life of a family in a meaningful way. This is illustrated clearly by DSS staff members donating over $1,000 to the DSS Christmas Cheer Project. So in this environment where staff are feeling so frustrated, so overwhelmed, they still are able to participate in a program that helps other people. It's because we have a staff who cares. In the environment that we are working in frustration, staff members' complaints, consumer complaints, and glitches, they're unavoidable. Vance County staff members will evolve with this change because we want an automated, single-stream system for the people who come to us for services. The future tells us that this will be the result. The path is difficult and the reward will be great. We must believe that this is so for our clients. Today, it's my job to inform you and to advocate for the clients we serve, our agency, and our staff members. And I thank you so much for letting me do it. Well, I expect I'll be back before it's all over.
Well, thank you for the update. Are there any questions from commissioners? I know you indicated you may need additional staff and maybe some other incentives, and so you would talk to your DSS board and or county manager?
Yes.
Thank you so very much for the update, and we look forward to doing whatever we can as a county to help us get through this NC fast. And the calendar, you know, I thought it was hump day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes. As a member of the DSS board, I would like to thank our new director, Ms. Antonia Pedroza, for her effort. She hasn't been here that long, but she certainly came in, hit the ground running. The clearly shows that she is very well experienced. And I want to thank the staff for working with her. For what I can gather, that seems to be taking place. And certainly they have a huge challenge, but they seem to be up to challenge of being but it's a team effort. So I thank all of them for the splendid job they seem to be doing with addressing this huge problem, a change process, but a lot of headaches that come along.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Are you getting the support from the state level that you think you ought to be getting?
Well, across the state, there are mixed reviews. We have, 100 counties, and we have 100 different directors, and approaches are different. And in the last 2 weeks, there's almost been the language is almost, we must revoke, we must demand, And there have been other directors who've chimed in and stated, we've been asking for a system like this for years. Did we think it would be painless? And, the answer is no. And we probably didn't think it would be this painful. So I understand both point of views. The state is certainly hearing all of the problems that we're experiencing. They are certainly reacting to those problems. I have a meeting mid-month to talk about some of these problems at the state level.
Okay.
I'll
give you some responses.
Thank you, Mrs. Cardoza.
Thank you.
We look forward to working with you.
Appreciate that.
Next on the agenda is our 6:30 appointment with Tax Administrator, Mrs. Brooks.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. I have two untimely exemption applications. I don't know which one is first on your, in the order. Kathy McKnight has applied for the disabled veteran exemption. She just getting her application in, and she has gotten the application. She have gotten her information to show that her husband was 100% disabled. He's deceased now. And what happened, Ms. McKnight, she wasn't aware that she can do this. And she happened to get a letter in August from the Department of Veteran Affairs out of Winston-Salem. And that letter was dated February of 2009. And she just got it in August. So she got the ball rolling once she received that letter and got everything. So if she would have had all this information by on June 1st, her application would have been on time. So she meet all the qualifications to be approved, but I have to bring it before the board because it is untimely. It was due June 1st.
All right. What are the wishes of the board? Now, I see that your recommendation is that if it had been turned in by June 1st, you would have met the qualifications and would have been approved.
Right.
So you're saying that this board has, we may,
if you think this is a good enough reason to approve it,
for approval.
Yeah.
Yes,
I would, as one commissioner, I would say that we need to go ahead and approve it. Because had she had the information in, she would have been, and it's not her fault. And so I would say go ahead and approve it. Because I feel very strongly about veterans. I think if they can go out here and defend our country, give up their lives, and there's nothing that we can, nothing too good that we can do for them or their spouses, and so I would suggest that we go ahead on approve.
Would you like to put that in the form of?
Yes, I make a motion that we go ahead on and approve it. That her application.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the appellant statement of the reason for the appeal and to grant approval of the application. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion carries.
And the second one is Warren Vance County Community Health Center. They filled out a listening form and turned it in by April 15th, letting us know that they had office equipment and supplies. And we billed them in August, and when they got the bill, they came in and they was wondering about exemption. And our office informed them that there was an application that they need to fill out to get the exemption. And of course, in their letter, they was not aware that they could do that. So at this time, because they're saying because they wasn't aware, they became aware September of 2013. They would like the exemption for 2013. Again, they meet the qualifications. They have turned in all their information. It's just up to the board if they want, if you all would like to accept the reason for not having it in on time.
I just want to ask a couple of questions if
okay.
I could. How much, I don't see on here what we're talking about money wise.
Their bills came up $217.57. Because it says business personal property.
I got you. Now I understand.
What did they do in the previous years?
This is their first time.
So they weren't here previously at all?
No.
Well, they were not aware?
They was not aware.
And they have an
R. Yes.
Well, I would move that we grant them an exemption on this occasion since they were not aware, and that should not be an excuse for the next time. Is this an annual?
No, this is a one-time application. Once they apply, as long as they stay in compliance.
Yeah, it's a non-profit. Mm-hmm. I move for to grant the exemption.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to grant the exemption for the Warren Vance County Community Health Center, Inc., and to grant the appeal, their request for appeal. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Aye.
The motion carries 6-1.
Thank you,
Sister Fortune. Now, next on the agenda is public comments, and we did have one person to sign up, Mr. Lawrence Brain. He wants to speak to us concerning the water system.
That's correct.
And you have given your address as 280 Kelly Road.
That's correct.
In Henderson. Yes, sir.
You remember I was here a couple months ago,
yes,
talking to y'all. I was concerned about water rates.
Yes, sir.
Still concerned about water rates. And in the September 26th meeting, y'all were talking about $63 water bill for the county. And the last time I spoke to you, you know, I signed up for $125. I tried to get that back. They said it couldn't opt out, so you know, I said keep my $125. Then I find out that I have a $30 minimum charge I've got to pay every month if I don't tap onto the water system. Okay? Jordan McMillan called me after this November meeting. And basically what he told me that when I signed up, I was hooked for $30 a month. Legal actions could be taken or would be taken to collect that money. The paper I signed didn't say that. Paper I signed said $20 a month. It also said that the water bill, including the $20, wouldn't exceed $35 to $45 a month, including $20, which included a $20 minimum, and it also said I'd get 5,000 gallons of water for that money. Well, that's not the game plan anymore. It has changed. We're talking about $30 a month minimum plus $7.19. And if you multiply that by 5,000 gallons, you're talking about $65.95 a month. Because I don't think many households use that much water. And hey, I don't know. I don't know how many kids you got, how many showers take a day. Here's a copy of what went on in the September 26th meeting. Got this off the computer. A friend of mine, I don't have a computer. I don't access all this. Somebody told me it was out there, so I told him to print me one. He did. And I scanned through, and there's a comparison in there of 13 different water systems around and in Vance County. There's some things that jumped up at me right away. Henderson, for 0 gallons of water, the city pays $10 a month. The county pays $25.18 if you're outside of the city. Now you go to $3,000 a month, guess what? They pay the exact same thing. So they get 3,000 gallons of water for $25.18 if you're outside the county. Call a friend of mine who lives in Warren County. His water bill runs less than $25 a month, him and his wife. But yet, y'all want the folks in Vance County to pay $50, $60 a month. And of the 13 water systems listed on that page, didn't but one of them have a contracted preventive maintenance system, Vance County. The rest of them, I don't know who does it. Maybe the city does the cities, and maybe all these other people take, but Vance County was the only one that was listed to have outside contractors to come in and do the water system. Warren County also, I didn't mention that, $20 for 0 gallon in the county. You use 3,000 gallons, it costs $30.50. Now all that's in this thing right here. You got it right over there. You know, a question that I would ask myself, what is Warren County doing and what is Henderson doing that can make that water so cheap? What are they doing? Households along 158 bypass going to Oxford, households along Dabney Road, know a lot of those people, $25. Water bill, some above 25, some below, but in the $25 range. What about Gun Club Road? Y'all familiar with where Gun Club Road is? What's going to happen when you connect two $25 water systems? These people here going to pay $60? What about Poplar Creek Road? County water, city water, goes down Poplar Creek Road as far as Western Vance, I think somewhere in that area. They give them $25 water. The rest of Poplar Creek going to have to pay $60 for water? $50, $60 for water? Now to me, it just, you know, unbelievable. Environment, I assume, is it contracted for building things, people? I assume that. There's some unbelievable stuff in there. It's just flat unbelievable to me. In Vance County, this is from EnviroLink. It's on the computer. I got a copy of that. But in Vance County, for a 3/4-inch tap, they want $2,000. And they call that facility capacity fee. And just to go to a 1-inch, 1/4-inch, they want $5,000. $3,000 more for a 3/4 to a 1-inch? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But anyhow, that's what they put. Then they got a water service connection fee, $1,100 for 3/4. 1-inch line, got $1,500. A county real close by. In fact, joined this county. And all of these are rates for after the water line goes by. You can get a tap for 3/4, $1,000. Tap for 1-inch, $1,100. Compared to 2,000 and 5,000, way out in left field, far as I'm concerned. Maintenance sheet in here, preventive maintenance for 1,750 taps, $1,319,486. That's $753.99 annual maintenance and billing for 1,750 customers per tap. Now you look at it per month, that's $62.83 per tap you got to have from every tap just to cover the maintenance. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. And as I say, You know, all this money, $1.3 million. How much did I stay in Nash County? Where did all this money go? Who gets it? Does it go down to David? Go to Nash County? Where's it go? I'm sure the money they pay for the water stays here. Nash County gets that money. Henderson, City of Henderson gets that money. But what I'm concerned about is that the water rates in Vance County, to me, are too high, and something needs to be done about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. I can't speak for others on the board, but I would like for you to know that from my perspective, we do have some concerns that we do still need to address concerning the water system and the water rates. And hopefully this board, if it's an issue, it's not going to go away. And it is an issue that we still need to continue to work on. And I would suggest that county manager and Mr. McMillan get together with Mr. Brain and, you know, work out some type of arrangement with him concerning what he has paid, etc., and so forth. But in the meantime, we still need to look at the overall system and see what it is that we can do to make things better and affordable for the majority of the citizens here in this county. That's just my concerns. And I do thank you for your comments, Mr. Brain. And believe you me, this is not an issue that's going to go away. We are still very much concerned about what is happening with our water system, the water rates, and we will continue to try to work out something. I don't know where the answer is going to come from, but we do need to do better in trying to provide this service to the citizens in Vance County.
Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
It's been a whole lot of time allowing staff to develop this program, and it's obviously some problems with it. And I would encourage our chairperson to allow a committee of commissioners who actually have some input in this process and facilitate some changes in this system. I think it's more appropriate. We discussed, staff has basically put this together, and I think we as elected officials need to take some responsibility in sharing some of this information and trying to correct some of these issues.
Okay, that would work. What committee? The environmental? And or
the planning committee or either the water committee that was established.
Mr. County Manager, Mr. Askew, if you could please resurrect that committee, get them back together, and so get them involved with this process. We would really appreciate it. And then perhaps at our next meeting, just, you know, you can give us an update. Okay?
Thank you.
Commissioner Garrison, thank you so much.
Yes, Commissioner.
And Commissioner Taylor and Brown. All right, next on the agenda is our committee reports and recommendations, and I'll call on our county manager.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The HR committee has some position vacancies, and we'll ask our HR director to come forward and share those.
Good evening.
Good evening.
There are three position vacancies that we are requesting to fill, and the HR committee has endorsed all three of them. The first two are in the Fire and EMS Department, a paramedic 2 and an EMT basic. And the third one is in the Sheriff's Office, a deputy sergeant's position.
And a second to fill the three positions noted and recommended by the HR committee. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. Thank you.
Here, the Planning and Environmental Committee has met on the Neighborhood Stabilization Program to address the strategy to rent out 5 of the 11 homes that we have, up to 5. And we arrived at that number through working with the HUD consultant that the state commerce folks had provided for us, and they have been great to work with. We have a deadline January 31st of 2014 to rent out these homes if at all possible, and realizing that the housing market is such that sales are not going to come quite as quickly as we would like. And then they've given us to the middle of September of 2014. If those remaining 6 units haven't been sold, that they want us to convert those to rental. We had, as you know, we had talked to Franklin Pass Warren Opportunities. They were going to do rental management for us. It came to light that they were not able to do that because they were not a broker. HUD said they had to be a broker. So in order to rent those and manage those units, those 5 units, up to 5 units, we have to report those things to HUD for 20 years. And so it's a long-term commitment. The committee endorsed the recommendation of the staff to approve the transfer of ownership of those homes over to Franklin Vance Warren. We met with Franklin Vance Warren so they could manage, so they could rent these things, manage them from a rental standpoint. And they agreed to do that, subject to their board meeting later this week, if you support this strategy. So our recommendation is to approve the transfer of ownership of up to the 5 of those homes. Those are listed, or are located, rather, 2 on Cross Street, 1 on Hawkins Lane, and I put Horner, but it is supposed to be Hawkins, I'm sorry. And 2 on Poplar Street. And I've got the exact addresses. But Madam Chair, the committee felt like that we needed to specify that any pure profits that came out of that rental over time needed to be returned to providing home ownership for those who qualify in Vance County. And so our recommendation is, as said, that to approve this transfer of those ownership of those 5 units to Franklin Vance Warren as soon as possible.
You heard the recommendation coming from the county manager. What are the wishes of the board?
I didn't understand what you meant by profits return. Did you say that statement again?
Well, let me say it better.
Yeah, I said that. I like that.
Yes, sir. Over time, one would hope that there would be some profit in the rental of these units, that costs would be less than what the rent proceeds are. And so in the event, and we would hope there are, some net profit, some pure profit in there, that money, any excess of revenue versus cost, be redirected into perpetuating home ownership for those who qualify under the NSP guidelines. For home ownership advanced camera. That was to go for the original intent of
it. Once you turn this over, you won't have any trouble.
Well, we still are going to have to, that will be a condition. That would be a condition.
Oh, so now you're saying we should make that as a condition,
yes,
when we turn it over. Then how would you monitor that? How do you check the books to tell when it's pure profit or not? I mean, how do you enforce that?
Well, you know, we would have, they would have to submit periodic reports to us. We've got to report to the state, who will report to the feds over the 20-year period. So that that information would have to be submitted to HUD, and so Franklin Mass Warren, the way I see it, would have to submit that to us, and we would have to submit it to the state.
Any other questions or concerns? Mr. Wilder?
A couple of questions. Sound like the profit part of it, if there is any, would be sort of like rent to own,
right.
Would it go back to a potential buyer?
It could, yes.
So that tells me that as far as returning these properties back to our tax roll, the taxable asset, we're looking way on down the highway.
Possible.
It's better, it would probably be better what we're doing now, but
that's right.
Which is not acceptable to me in the now, but it really concerned me that, you know, but there's no question that it's better for the homes and for the, I guess, the system, if you will, that homes are being occupied instead of vandalized.
Right. That's right.
So that, you know, that's, you know, but I'm still concerned that, you know, that, that we haven't been able to fill those homes, and let's be honest. Much worse economic situation here than I realize.
One of the things that we discussed in the committee meeting is this is not an action that we're really excited about, but the fact is, if we don't do something, we're going to have to pay back this money.
Yes.
This was money that was free from the government, no risk and all that. Now we face the opportunity of maybe getting to pay it back. And so this action, given the timeline that we have, is about the only thing we can do, and it's nothing that we look at favorably at all, but with what we've got, there are very few options left. And part of the concern in the committee was that we have not been kept informed of the process throughout this process, and it came to us at the last minute, just this is the only option you've got. And so one other thing that came out of the committee was that in the future, communication channels should be more open and we should be involved, and I think we'll be receiving our updates on a more frequent basis.
I think we probably need some real clarification and understanding on the definition of pure profit. And these houses, as they sit today, basically new construction, which means unless if they're going to rent out, they're supposed to be monitored, so they will be visiting the houses to see that they stand fairly good repair. So if new construction, for the next 5 years, the repair cost should be minimal. But you're talking about homes that will rent on average between $500-$600 per month and more. And I think that a reserve account, something one third for repairs, one third for the administrative costs over here, but I can't fathom a profit of less than a third of the rent per month on average going forward. So I think that we need to reset that as a goal, or maybe more, or come up with a definition such that this doesn't get lost in terminology over time. And I think, because the idea here is to take these homes and to use them in a manner such that they can provide more affordable homes for those persons in need. And since we couldn't do it, we haven't been able to achieve it in the initial manner that we thought. This is an option, an alternative, to provide housing as well as to prevent for the needy, as well as prevent us having to pay back $2 million. So, and those are some numbers there that I think it turns out I'm confident they're going to make the homes out of that fair market rent value. And you're going to be talking about that on average. Yeah. So now, as a nonprofit, those if you give them, they wouldn't be paying property taxes. That's one pays property tax.
I'd have to look at the exceptions. I'm not sure.
Look at the exceptions. I know that when the A.L. Harris subdivision was done, I think that they paid property tax.
I would think you would pay taxes on these, but that's not.
Yeah, but the taxes, the insurance, those would be deductible things that that come from the rent, et cetera, and so forth. And they've got to have costs for collecting the rent and that sort of thing.
Well, and it's anticipated that there's going to be a minimum repair account per house.
Yeah.
So that initially most of the rent's going to be collected and fund that.
Yeah.
And then it will be maintained at a certain minimum throughout the term unless they've spent money on it.
Well, exactly. So the point that I'm trying to make, I think we need to talk in terms of the term net profit is it's kind of loose.
Profit is a tough term.
Make this a whole lot of latitude. And we appreciate what they're doing, but I think it's important that we give some guidance in terms of what we're seeking and what we prefer. So if you think you've got some different numbers, but I think, when you look at all of that, I think you need to, that needs to be stated in the condition. And I would rather see some goals. I won't say a requirement, but maybe 40% of the it's not unrealistic.
Additionally, now there are grant funds I believe that are available that's gonna restore these properties.
That's right.
So they'll be fixed before they take possession. It's not that money up front as far as for repairs doesn't really exist.
You're exactly right. That's a good point. Very good point. I mean, generally, overall, it's going to be the taxes, the insurance, and whatever that cost is to collect the rents and all that sort of thing. And the administrative cost. Other than that, it's for the most part, it's property. From this perspective, that may be some things.
Until they have the first one to move out and it's all tore up and
But even then, they've got a team of folk. But we can use this if necessary. But I think they've got weatherization programs and other kinds of things that they can use.
Yes, sir.
To tag on to what Mr. Garrison said, is that the only thing we got right now, we're under the gun. I mean, under the gun within 60 days, if we don't go ahead and do something, we're going to be liable for these houses. So more time we take, the less time they're going to have to rent them, and the less time you're going to have ended up being liable for these houses. So my only concern is this is December. We need to go ahead and make some kind of decision to move forward on these five houses now, because if you don't, you're going to end up in a lot more liable situation. So, which I don't think that's what we want to do. So as far as I don't want any more liability than I have to, so we need to do something on this tonight.
Let me ask a quick question. Sure. Here. Two questions. One, our attorney, were you involved in drafting this language? Is this your language or staff language?
The recommendation?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's staff language.
So you haven't been involved in the wording?
Not in the wording of this.
Of this document.
That's correct.
I didn't think so. It doesn't look legal lease enough to me.
And I'll tell you.
But I support the idea we've got to get rid of these houses. And I support everything Commissioner Garrison has said. But then we get into the language, which is what Commissioner Garrison really was getting to. He opened his conversation with defining what's meant by pure profit, which is not really a term, a business term. Nobody talks like that. And so then he went on even further. But the point is, And when I read this document, one of the things that concerned me when we got into the line that says the ownership, thus the staff and committee are eager to recommend the ownership of up to 5 of these homes be transferred to FVW. Now, when somebody owns something, and there you're trying to put all these conditions on what they own before they get it. You know, if we're going to transfer it to them and make them the owners of it and have said they have to come into compliance with whatever we are obligated to do for the feds, finances, it seems to me all this other conversation is kind of convoluted.
Well, I think those are standings there with some preliminary discussions with them that there are going to be several conditions that go along with the transfer of ownership of these homes. Most prominently is going to be the compliance with the NSP grant.
That's correct. Report. And other than that compliance.
Well, that's been discussed briefly. And when they made an initial proposal to us, they kind of set the parameters of what they expected. If they were going to manage this, they wanted us to set aside these reserve accounts, these repair accounts, capital improvement. So they kind of established and have that same idea and expectation because they didn't want the county, if the county was still the owner, taking that money and diverting it elsewhere within the NSP program so that it wasn't available. So they have an understanding that these reserves have to be built up. There may be some excess rental income from them, but they wanted to make sure that there was a formula per house of what that rental income would be applied to. And so,
excuse me,
the basic understanding of that formula is there. It's been discussed, and they were kind of having that expectation of us, and they know we're going to have the same expectation of them per house on the rents that they receive. So the discussion,
like everything you said, it's just not in writing.
So the discussion has been started, but we need. My point was, a lot of this is complex. We've got about a page and a half of questions that we need to sit down with them and say how would this work for you and your organization? There's two or three different ways that, from the county's perspective, I wouldn't have an issue with, but I don't want to dictate to them if it would be easier for them to comply with the NSP requirements by doing it this way rather than another way. And basically, due to my schedule over the past week and a half, we've had the initial discussions, we had some really good discussions on this, but because of my schedule, we weren't able to take it any farther before tonight.
That explains a lot, Jennifer. But I would ask them, and I hear what you're saying, but I would ask that probably it may be worthwhile to all parties involved with that if your office presents a proposal to them with all of these conditions.
Yes.
For them to consider. And you've heard from us what we would like to have. I think it's a question now from my perspective is whether or not the goal of a third is adequate. And it could be a half might be more adequate of the rent. I would say a goal of 50%, not a requirement, but a goal of 50% of the rents taken in to be used to help new other persons to become home.
Further development.
Yes. I would be satisfied with that. If they said it's not doable, then I would like to hear from them. But I would be comfortable with that. Let's move on.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I don't want us to string this thing out too long because, you know, I know at least one person that is willing to start renting one of these houses now. And there's probably other folks, once they know that they're for rent. Because, see, there are some folks
especially when you're talking about buying, that's not going to live in some of these areas where the houses are. You know, when they can take that money and go someplace else. But you got people out there that are living in substandard housing and who are paying good money and would be more than happy to take one of these houses and keep it up, and matter of fact, probably would do repairs that they shouldn't, that they don't have to do, rather than to come to the landlord. So I would say the longer we, you know, hold this thing up, and I know, you know, we need to get Jonathan involved with this, you know, and I don't have a problem with that, but, you know, but I don't want to, because we've come into some cold months. We've already had some cold days this past November, and I don't know what December's going to bring, but if it's something like November, we're looking at some cold weather, and there's people out there that's living in substandard housing that would gobble up these five houses. And because some folks don't want to live in those type of neighborhoods because they're nice houses, but they're in some blighted neighborhoods. And and on top of that, we got to pay this money back if we don't do something. So we don't want to procrastinate, you know, and for two reasons that we got to pay it back. But my most important reason is I don't want to see people out here that's living in substandard housing and freezing because the city of Henderson does not have minimum housing codes. That's what I'm talking about, minimum housing code. So, and I'd like for us to do something tonight.
Well, we have a recommendation coming from the staff, and I believe the only thing that it lacks is what we expect the county attorney to do, his involvement in this whole process. It does, the recommendation from staff indicates that the board commissioner's chairperson is to execute the necessary legal documents and related agreements between Vance County and FBW. Now, this chairperson will not be executing anything unless our county attorney has thoroughly, you know, looked at those documents and carry out the wishes of this board. So I believe, you know, we would be it would be appropriate to make a motion concerning this recommendation, but including in it the terminology for our attorney's involvement.
Let me ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Would it be appropriate to have our board do a motion that recommends passing the ownership to FBW tonight? Because we're all in agreement, it needs to go, and we don't need to hold it up. As Commissioner Wright has said, we don't address any of this. So we make a motion to pass the ownership on, and then have the county attorney and the county manager work out the details of the parts of it.
Well, that's pretty much what the recommendation says. So I think we've been on this long enough. And I think the attorney has heard what we've said, so has the county manager. So in view of that, I make a motion.
Second.
That we approve the transfer of ownership up to five neighborhoods, stable NST houses located on Cross, up the Horn Street.
Horn is correct.
I had two different sets of information, but Horner is correct.
Okay, so it's not Hawkins.
Correct.
Okay.
And Horner Streets to Franklin Vance One Opportunities Incorporated as soon as possible, like the next 2 weeks,
for the purpose of renting them to eligible individuals. In doing so, Franklin Branch Warren is to ensure compliance with all neighborhood stabilization program requirements and to use all room profits to perpetuate homeownership in Vance County. Authorize the Board of Commissioners, Chairperson, to execute the necessary legal documents and related agreements between Vance County and Franklin Branch Warren Property.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve the recommendation from the staff concerning the five NSP houses and transfer them to Franklin Vance Warren Opportunities, Inc. Any further discussion on the motion?
Just a question. Yes. Mr. Garrison had stated he wanted to seek negotiations of up to 50%.
Yes.
Is that part of the truth?
I left it open, but I'm strongly suggesting that you include that, and if they feel they can't reach that, find out what that threshold is. But we need to have some kind of threshold, some goal. And from what we know at this point, 50% is not to me does not appear to be outrageous. I think it's reasonable.
Not for
a new house, yeah.
So you're asking for a negotiated goal?
Yes.
Be in part.
Yes, but I'm asking you to seek 50%. But I'm not including that in the motion.
Okay.
So you're not asking that a negotiated goal be a part of the motion?
Yeah, I wanted to negotiate it, but I mean, I can't
negotiate it, but that 50% is not in there, but a negotiated goal would be.
Yes, I do. A negotiated goal would be.
Okay.
But you've heard what our desire is. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Henry.
Thank you.
We have a brief overview on the other two items, or other one item then?
Yes, ma'am. The Public Safety Committee had several items. One is the animal reactivation of the animal control advisory committee. We're recommending that the committee endorses it, that we increase that committee from 7 to 9. It is an advisory committee, not a policy committee, but we had some guidelines that we included in the package, and we have some people who agreed to serve and was willing. And so, Madam Chair of the Public Safety Committee endorses the staff's recommendation, Chief Animal Control Officer himself, to appoint 9 members and to adopt the proposed guidelines as presented for the Vance County Animal Control Advisory Committee.
Any further discussion on the motion? We have heard the report and recommendation coming from the staff. What are the wishes of the board?
Chairman, I move that we approve the Public Safety Committee recommendation. The Chief Animal Control Officer and the County Manager to appoint 9 members, all of whom are agreed to serve, and to adopt the proposed guidelines as presented.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second coming from the Public Safety Committee and the staff. Any further discussion on the motion? I do have a question concerning the advisory committee. We have a list of them, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. The last two are staff liaison. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item deals with requests from the Fire and Ambulance Department. Turnout year for firefighters. The chief has made federal applications in the last 2 federal fiscal years for funds through FEMA and for turnout gear. This is the heavy equipment, heavy suits that the firefighters wear as they go into fire to dwellings and so forth, buildings on fire. And he advises me that we're in need of about 40 sets that need to be replaced over the next couple of years. And this is a safety concern for county staff. And the committee decided to recommend buying outright purchase 20 sets, and we can give 15 for full-time firefighters and 5 for those who work part-time. And that would leave 20 more that we could look at purchasing over the next couple of fiscal years. The purchase that's being recommended would cost $48,720. This is not something we budgeted for, but we do have contingency of $89,835. So the recommendation is to, from the committee, is to purchase 20 sets of turnout gear for a total not to exceed $48,720, with funds coming from the contingency.
Okay. We have a report and recommendation coming from the Staff and Public Safety Committee. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I move we approve the purchase of 20 sets of turnout gear for the Fire EMS Department in an amount of $48,720. The funds to come from the contingency and then authorize a grant fund application for the remaining 20 sets.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve of the recommendation coming from staff and the Public Safety Committee concerning the purchase of 20 sets of turnout gear for the Fire and EMS Department. Any further discussion on the motion?
Yeah, Madam Chair, one question.
Yes.
Why is it that this request was not included with the budget request last year?
My first question as well, sir. They have submitted federal grant applications for the last 2 years. They got the second turning down notice, if you will, turn down notice back in August. And if I'm correct, I think correct on that, which was well after our budget had been approved. So they were hopeful that federal funds would be coming. And so after 2 straight years of not being funded, it felt like something needed to be done. The chief has made it clear that he has some serious concerns about safety and our staff.
Right. I was just curious.
Great question.
I had the same question that Commissioner Garrison had, and I got some additional questions. Did the safety committee go out and inspect these turnout gear?
We had
pictures. Did you go out and look at it?
We had pictures of the
turnout. I saw pictures of one. We're talking not one replacement, we're talking 20 gears here. So my question is, you can always, there might be one that's really way out of the line, you take a picture of it. But what about the rest of it? Did any of our committee go out and take a look at any of this gear?
No, sir.
We make a decision to help?
I trusted the judgment of our chief in that. He's a professional.
We asked that question about
We asked the question. He said it represented the average condition.
And one reason I'm asking that question is, it's my understanding that we had a transfer in 2009, eight, somewhere back there, of all gear, when the two departments
emerged,
yeah.
They split.
And the gear was all looked at that time, and it was supposedly okay. No? Yes?
Almost 6 years ago.
Yeah,
the life expectancy is 10 years.
But they weren't new at the time. So.
Okay.
But still, our chief is here if you'd like to have some specific.
No, you have questions concerning? Yes, sir.
First question I have is it was turned down twice. FEMA's number one priority is uniforms. Has anybody called Brucey Ryan E. Kimo on the phone and ask him why it's been turned down and has it been applied for this year?
We can ask our chief that question. I have not called this commissioner. And And I called FEMA to ask why. I do know the letter that you have a copy of said that they got an extraordinary number of applications and they didn't have enough to go around. But maybe our chief can answer that question.
That'd be fine.
Our chief, would you like to?
The FEMA grant process is called AFG, Assistance to Firefighters Grant. It is not a guaranteed grant. There's over 20,000 departments in the United States that compete every year for that grant. The funding for that grant over the past several years for the economy is consistently goes down and down and down. You have 20,000 departments competing for a small chunk of change. I mean, they give, it depends, anywhere from $3 to $4 or $5 million.
I won't disagree all that, but my question that I asked was, has anybody called this man and asked him why you were turned down twice?
We get in the, when I get the denial, we get a several page letter and it states.
That's not what I asked.
Sir, no, I mean, I don't.
I've not called him.
The grant states why we're turned down and the reasons.
So we haven't checked with him to see why we were turned down twice.
No, sir.
Has it been applied for this year? This is 2012, and you turned down 2013 for 2012. Has this grant been applied for this year?
It's in the process.
When was this grant turned in?
The grant hasn't been turned in. I utilize a grant writer.
Well, you've got to have it in before December 6th, don't you?
The grant?
Yeah, for this year. Isn't it the cutoff date?
Yes, sir. And
is it in
my grant writer will finish it, and they sign off on it, and will submit it.
So you have not applied for a grant?
My grant writer.
You're still not answering my question.
Yes, we've applied for the grant. The application process is being done.
Well, what would be the difference of what you wrote last year? And if you call this gentleman on the phone, you probably may have been turned down because it may have not been written up the way that they wanted it. Because I understand one of FEMA's priorities in anything is to make sure that equipment is given to the people, number one project. As a matter of fact, I think some of these grants that are given out to some of these other fire departments around the state have applied for fire trucks, if I'm not mistaken. So it is a lot of stuff turned in.
And again, it's based on, you know, how the grant. There's a peer review board. It's a computerized system that rates the applications, then from there it goes to peer review.
How many of these outfits do you have as far as with the county?
How many? My full-time personnel.
How many is that?
Including myself, 15.
So why were you asking for 40?
Because I have to start the process. We have put part-time firemen that are county employees in the volunteer stations, and I have to start the process of putting them in county-owned gear, because some of the chiefs have come up and questioned if their gear gets destroyed, who is going to pay for it when a county employee is wearing it. Okay, some of my part-time employees work for the city of Henderson. They're not volunteer firefighters in this county, and Chief Wilkerson will not allow them to wear city gear while on county time. And I don't blame him. It's not, because if that his gear gets destroyed, then his full-time firefighters don't have any gear at the station to utilize, so he has somebody there that can't fight fire until that gear is replaced.
Well, all these 15 that you've got right now, no life left in them?
I didn't say they didn't have life left in them.
How much life?
But they need to start being replaced because of the condition.
How much life do they have in
them? How much life? Not very long. I mean, I could destroy a set of turnout gear tonight on a fire. We've had that happen before. I've had gear destroyed at a commercial fire that we had a year ago. And the company was nice enough, because they're here in Vance County, and they replaced the sets for us instead of me having to come to Mr. Askew and getting the county to purchase them.
So often,
they worked through their insurance company and replaced them.
Are all these outfits out at the fire department?
Yes, sir.
We currently have three people employed by our fire department who have no turnout gear and cannot perform their job because they don't have turnout gear. And I think it's something we're in dire need of, and it's something we've got to do to protect the safety of our employees. And I think we need to move forward on this.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. When listening to the chief, the question then has to be, is the number 20? Could the number be 10? Mm-hmm.
We have tried.
Listening to the chief, and I'm listening to what you're telling me. We got three people who need it. We got some that absolutely deteriorated. So we need to replace those.
We have tried over the years since I've come here to appropriate 5 or 10 sets each budget year. But because of the economic situation, financial with the county, that's an item that's had to been cut out of the budget. And I pursued grant opportunities to try to replace it. We've got other grants in the past to buy EMS equipment, $40,000-$50,000 cardiac monitors. We've been successful with grants. We just haven't been with this one.
No, I understand, but I'm going back to Commissioner Garrison's initial question about it being included in our planning sessions and all that. Mm-hmm. So if I'm listening to his question, which I agree with, the question is, what is the minimum number we can purchase and get by till our next planning session? We can then, in our next planning session, put something in there to budget for whatever it is you think you need at that time. That's kind of where I'm headed with this, with that question. So I'm piggybacking off Commissioner Garrison's question, which is, this needs to be discussed at our planning session overall, and when it's not handled as a crisis matter, it's handled as a routine. And so the question is, what's the minimum number?
We spent a lot of time in the committee.
I'll go back and re-inspect all the gear again, and you're more than welcome to come, and we'll come up with a better number. I mean, just table it till next month.
We have a motion and a second on the floor concerning the recommendation coming from the committee and the public safety committee and the staff. And we've had a lot of discussion on the motion. So at this time, I'm ready to call for a vote on the motion. All in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
We have... Let's get a hit. Pardon?
I need a
roll
call.
A
roll call. No. I've got a question. I know you, so I don't have time for questions. It's a good question now. I'm going to vote no, but if it fails, I want to come back and ask the question. If I get answered, I'll make another motion too.
I'm sorry. I should have said I voted yes when you called for it. I'm going to think it just then, but. My vote is yes.
But the motion fails for lack of a majority. And what I would suggest is that this go back to the Public Safety Committee.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I have a question. Which is this gentleman before you?
Sure.
Is that right?
Before we move on.
Yeah. This application that's due December the 6th of this year,
mm-hmm.
What kind of equipment, what are you requesting in the application?
Cardiac gear.
Okay.
But now, the grant process goes, and that's why it wound up. The grant process gets awarded over a year's time.
Uh-huh.
This past grant cycle, we came right to the end. I mean, we made it right to the end.
How many unit systems are you requesting?
That's the answer to your question is I can't finalize my grant until I tell the gentleman tomorrow morning whether these 20 sets were approved, so I know how many to do. With it not being approved, I'm going to go for all 40 sets tomorrow. Just like I did in the years past.
But my question is, why is it now that you're applying for it? Why didn't you apply for it back in July?
Sir, the grant just opened just opened in November. It's a 30-day period that the grant application opens.
Okay.
It got pushed back when the federal shutdown happened.
Okay.
It was supposed to happen on October, and it got pushed back. Yes, sir. So it pushed the application period, extended it out a little bit longer to give people the opportunity. When the government was shut down, that's it. They can't do anything.
So what kind of risk would you, would the emergency personnel be in a year's time?
Is the gear in such poor condition that it will jeopardize the safety of...
Some of them I have to take out of service. Mm-hmm. You know, a question, Madam Chair, if I could. A question back in 07, 08, when the city of Henderson oversaw Vance County, a grant was awarded for turnout gear then. The question I pose to you is, where's half the gear? That's a question I would like to pose to the board. Find half of that gear.
What happened to you?
That the 10% federal matching share that the county paid, where did the gear go? Because it's not at my fire station.
Somebody should have done an investigation, and because obviously he didn't walk away.
Madam Chair, I don't feel comfortable right now with this blanket. No. What I feel comfortable with is if we could define what the minimum is. You know, he's asking for 20, but the discussion says that some number less than 20 might be okay to get us out of harm's way here in terms of meeting the minimum requirement. But the chief can't tell me what that minimum number is. Now, from listening to a member of the safety commission, I know at least 3 is needed. I got that much.
Okay. We discussed this in depth in the public safety committee. He wanted 40 units to fully equip and get him out of the issue he's dealing with, volunteers. He's got 15 full-time employees that have gear that is deteriorating and needs to be replaced to protect them in, you know, from a safety situation. And then there are 3 employees who currently cannot perform their job because they do not have turnout gear. And they so that's 18 right there. And so 2 rounding out to the 20 number gave us 2 sets to work towards getting things in order. And then we would work with the other sets and create a rotation basis just like we do with sheriff's deputies' vehicles and budget. The grants after with Homeland Security grants were very productive in producing equipment. They've changed those grants over the past couple of years, so they're not giving them out like they were previously. I've served on the Public Safety Committee at the State Association. This is not something that, you know, you talk to other departments, they're having the same issues. It's not unique to Vance County. We're not miswriting grants. It's consistent with what's going on in the environment right now with grant writing and the Homeland Security area.
Yes, sir.
Based on the information that the chief provided, if Osher were to walk in tomorrow, what do you think would be the result?
Several of those sets would be taken out of service and you'd receive a fine.
How many sets?
Those with the pants like that, probably in the air about 3 or 4.
So 3 or 4 would be where we are as far as ones that you know would be taken out of service now?
If Osher walked in, yes.
Why can't we replace those 3 or 4 right now, apply for the grant, and then look down the road as far as that's concerned at getting the grant and looking at the budget time?
The way the grant is pushed off, it's a year from now before the award, so I might not know the award. We might go right to the end to November, December. I come up with a
but
denial.
But you'll know by budget time.
No, I won't know about budget time.
You will know whether you got approved. You will know if you haven't been approved that you can come back and put them in your budget.
No, I won't. Because it's a grant. The awards go out. They might award 30. There might be 30 grant cycles.
Let me ask this a different direction. Why can't we get 3 or 4 of the outfits right now and then look at this at budget time?
It's fine.
I would say you need more than that. If he says it's... Let's take the higher number 4.
Okay.
That needs to go, that needs to be placed immediately to keep us out of trouble with OSHA.
Okay.
And then we got 3 more, as Commissioner Brummett points out, who don't have it. So that's a total of 7.
And we're going to be back next month talking about the 3 more that have deteriorated since then because they're marginal right now. I mean, I think we discussed the 20 is a reasonable number.
Well, to my fellow commissioners, we need to bring this to a close. This is an important item. I realize that we're getting into the fire season, one of the busiest times of the year when such gear may be needed. We also are looking at a heavy fine if OSHA were to come and pay us a visit and we don't have the proper gear. in line. Now, I would like to remind my fellow commissioners that we are not sitting here to micromanage what our departments do. That's not my job, and it's not our job to micromanage. Okay? Now, I have not gone to the fire station to check out any gear, and I don't plan to go. That's what we hire the chief for. That's why we have a public safety committee who has asked most of these questions and have thought through this stuff. So we have taken a vote on it. It did not pass. It's now time for us to move on and let this go back to the public safety committee unless I hear one more final
subject
on this matter.
You're about to talk us out of this thing.
Well,
all right, here we go. All right, Madam Chair, I make a motion that we approve the purchase of 20 sets of turnout gear for the fire MS department at $48,720. The funds come from the contingency. Application grant funds authorized for the remaining 20 sets.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the recommendation coming from the Public Safety Committee and the staff concerning the purchase of 20 sets of turnout gear for the fire and EMS department. Any further discussion on this motion? If not, those in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay.
Nay.
We have the motion carries 5-2. Next on the agenda is another recommendation coming from the Public Safety Committee, EMS and EMD Medical Director.
Yes, Madam Chair. We have a contract in place currently with a company to do provide medical oversight of our EMS program. It's required by the office, State Office of Emergency Medical Services. We also have a component in 911 called Emergency Medical Dispatching. Part of our EMS program. OEMS, the state EMS office, requires us to have medical directorship of the EMD, the dispatching as well. It has to be the same medical director. As you know, we have a long history of a voluntary arrangement with the local physician at no cost to the county, but that has changed in the last couple of years. So, our chief has done a very good job in going back and renegotiating because the price kept going up and renegotiating our contract. So our recommendation is to amend our existing contract. The money part is going downward to starting January 1st of 2014 to go through basically just a year and a half, June 30th of 2015, at a cost of about $10,000 for January through June of this 2013, which is the remainder of this fiscal year, and $20,000 for next fiscal year. That is a savings to the county. So, Madam Chair, that is the recommendation of the committee and the staff.
Madam Chairman, I move to approve the amendment of the existing contract to EMS Medical Director for Staff Medical Solutions for the county EMS and EMD programs to change the terms to extend through June 30th, 2015 at a cost of $10,000 for the second half of fiscal year 2013-14 and $20,000 for fiscal year 2014-15.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. To approve the recommendation coming from staff and the Public Safety Committee concerning the EMS EMD medical director services. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye. The motion carries. Next on the agenda is our county manager's report. Saskew.
Yes, ma'am. There, items A and C are for information only, and so Chair will allow, I'll treat those together. The year annual planning retreat, you have set the date for Thursday, January 23rd at 10 a.m. And that's at the Satellite Point Community Building. And I'll affectionately know that as a Glass House.
then you have an invitation from Vance Graham Board of Trustees, Community College Board of Trustees, for November the 17th, almost a year from now, to have an informal dinner for the purpose of just sharing information on a general basis, and they will let us know the specifics. So, Madam Chair, those are two information items.
We might get more negotiating at the Christmas meeting.
There you go. That's right. Good. Item B,
yes.
Clark Elementary School project closeout. As you know, you all approved and it has been done, the construction of a new elementary school. We did have some leftover funds there that you approved to be used for the science lab project at Northern Vance High School. I will ask our finance director to kind of finish that out and tell you what he's asking for.
Yes, this is basically an accounting cleanup item. It's something that our auditors have recommended that we do, is to formally close out the Clark Elementary project, and that way they don't have to continue including that project in the audit report year to year. As Mr. Esquire mentioned, those funds that were left in that project account were approved to be used for the science lab renovations in Northern Vance. So there's no money left in that project account now. And this just kind of cleans this up a little bit.
Okay. So this your recommendation is that we approve the closeout ordinance of the Clark Elementary School Construction Fund as presented?
Yes.
Do I have a motion to that effect?
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the closeout ordinance of the Clark Elementary School Construction Fund as presented by staff. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, let me know by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda is pending business. County manager?
Yes, ma'am. We have the audit reports from the volunteer fire departments, and as you can tell, they've all been received. That's
for information?
Yes, for your information. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Item 13, the consent agenda items. Do I hear a motion to approve those items?
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve of the consent agenda items. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. Miscellaneous. Mrs. Grissom.
Mm-hmm. We have appointments for December for the Tourism Development Authority. Reappoint Deborah Brown, Eddie Ellington, and John Fogg for 3-year terms.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion they be approved. Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to appoint the three named persons to the Tourism Board for a how many year term?
Three.
Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it know by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. Thank you. And last, we need to go into the Water District Board. So I just, at this time, we will convene, this board will convene as the Water District Board. And I see we have at least one item, the Carnegie Crossing easement, Mr. County Manager.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And we'll ask Jordan McMillan, if you would, to come forward with that, please.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Madam Chair, if I may give just a quick update too on the county water system.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to provide you guys with this update very briefly. The water system, as we mentioned last month, it was activated at the end of October. Really, it's only been 3 weeks since the letters have been received by the folks that are out there making connections. With Thanksgiving last week, it's been about two productive weeks. As of last week, we had 31 folks that were connected to the system. On our way up to, we're looking over 600 right now of what we're looking that we would have in phase 1A. And so that's where we are in terms of connections. The applications are flowing into EnviroLink very well. There's a lot of those. We're doing a lot of plumbing inspections as well. So every day that number's climbing. We're getting more connections in phase 1A. We've been coordinating with EnviroLink recently, tweaking the way that we do our inspections versus when they set the meters. So we just met on that the other day. But that's something that we're constantly open to tweaking, and we're trying to do that as we go forward. As far as the road additions, there were 7 roads that you guys authorized to be added on. They're working on the 7th. None of those 7 have been turned on yet. When we're done with the 7th one, we'll certify those, and then we'll turn those on and allow people to connect. There's a second set of road additions, another 8 that we've talked about for some time. That is in the end stages of the design phase, and then will be submitted. I'm pushing to get that submitted to the state through our engineer, that we would be in position to start those early next year and get the next 8 road additions in phase 1A taken care of. And so that's just sort of the quick update in phase 1A. Phase 2A and 2B, we're looking at a pre-construction meeting this week. And looking at construction taking place in January to look to get started. As you all know, we had the groundbreaking this past month in November. And so that's just sort of the quick update on the water project.
Yes. The point of clarification, just if you find out, Jordan, I'm not asking you on the spot, I'm not sure, but we got a grant from the Rural Health of $1 million.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken. And that grant, the $1 million from Rural Health, that has to be spent last. Is that correct for 1A?
Yes.
So in essence, if you don't spend it, that money goes back to Rural Health. If we don't spend that money, it goes back to, is that
that's
right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
How can that money be used for? What can it be used for?
More roads. Well, what I'm saying is, then you have to spend your loan money first, and then if you don't spend the grant money, then it goes back to Rural Health. But so we have to, and just what I'm asking is to clarify that. I want to make sure that was right. So if we got any money left, we need to do roads, is what I'm saying.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Clarification question. You said the sign-ups through EnviroLink were going on now. Is EnviroLink taking over our 2A sign-ups?
No, there is the initial connection, which is the $125 early sign-up fee. Now, we're still taking care of those in our office to try not to confuse what we're doing and what the buyer wants to do.
And I'm getting calls from people saying they went on the website to look at it, and everything is directed to EnviroLink. They don't have information now on our website directing them to Vance County.
And that may just be because that's the first page they get to. Maybe what we need to do, it's there, it's just on a separate page. So maybe we just need to highlight it a little more on that main page. Because you're right, the main page, when we rolled out the connections, has been devoted to that. We have another page, then we just need to make it come forward a little more.
Likewise, there was a question about the $800 dry tap fee. Said there's no longer a fee for a dry tap. Is that just something that's on the EnviroLink page and not on ours?
No, that's not anywhere that I'm aware of.
But we still, so it's still on our literature, correct?
The $800 dry tap is still an option for those that are interested in it in phase 1A or phase 2.
And that's in our literature, is that correct?
Yes.
According to this person who's calling me, it's not in the EnviroLink, it's not on the EnviroLink site. It says there's no fee, so we need to get that correct.
I will correct it if it's not there.
And did you ever come to not really cluster on our general fund contribution?
That is something that we probably need to work on. As I said last month, that's something that is constantly can slide or move one way or the other based off of the number of signups that we have. Each fiscal year, we'll have the opportunity to revisit that.
We've been kind of basic on that number. I'd like to get something like that.
It's also important to talk about that number to point out that our grant, our loan funds rather, we only pay interest for the first 2 years. And so in reality, that number will probably be much lower because of that. That's not something we would have to really pay in full the first couple of years. So that will take that number down.
So when you calculate, the last sheet we looked at, the EnviroLink formula for cost of water, did that include interest-only payments or did that include debt service?
Included full debt service.
Included full debt service, yes.
All right, you know, I believe you have an action item for us.
Yep. One action item, if I may, is for phase two. This is something that is within the budget for phase two that you guys have approved, but just to expand on it and explain it, there's one remaining easement that we need to obtain from the U.S. Corps of Engineers to cross Carr Lake. They provided some options. We've worked with them for some time. There's not really any room for negotiation there. We feel the better deal is a 50-year easement agreement at a cost of $17,550. And there is an administrative fee of $2,900 as well. That's within our budget. Certainly it affects our ability to add on to the project. But we're asking for the authorization for the county attorney to complete an easement agreement with the U.S. Corps of Engineers at that 50-year level.
You want a motion?
Yes, Nate.
I'd like to make a motion that we go with the 50-year easement plan and as per the figures here.
Second.
Well, motion, second.
Okay, well, we have a motion and a second approve the recommendation coming from the staff to authorize the county attorney and the county staff to enter into an easement agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for 50 years by providing a lump sum payment to the Corps not to exceed $17,550 for the lake crossing easement and $2,900 for administrative costs. And these funds have previously been allocated within the approved phase 2B budget for this specific purpose. Any further discussion on the motion? If not, all in favor, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion carries. Thank you, Mr. McMillan, for your update and your report. And is there any other water matter that needs to be? Well, the Water District Board is adjourned, and we'll run back into regular session. And before we, I entertain a motion to adjourn, I just want to thank our outgoing chair for the hard work that he did, and he's already keeping me in line here tonight, I see. So I just want to thank you, Tommy, for doing a great job as chairperson last year. And, you know, so you're going to have some tough shoes, some large shoes to try to fill, okay? And we would like to thank, I believe, Ann Scramble for the Christmas poinsettias. We want to thank them for that. And is there any other business?
And thank Ms. Wilder for that.
Oh, that's right. And thank Mr. Wilder for our goodie. Yes. And for Mr. Wilder for bringing them. Yes, we really appreciate that. You get in the start. We all real good for the holiday season. So if there is no further ado, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Somebody
move. We have a motion and a second to adjourn this meeting of the Vance County Board of Commissioners, December 2nd. All in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Nay.
Stay here if you want.
Carries.
Don't let that go. Get out of here.